From WAMC in Albany, this is the Legislative Gazette, a weekly magazine about New York State government and politics. Your host is David Gastina, with political commentary by Dr. Alan Shartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
Coming up this week, New York State declares the St. Gobain Plastics Facility in Hoosick Falls a Superfund site. Our political observer, Alan Shartok, shares his thoughts on the 19th Congressional District race and the governor's budget proposes legalizing mixed martial arts. Those stories and more on the Legislative Gazette. The St. Gobain facility in the Rensselaer County village of Hoosick Falls has been declared a New York State Superfund site as the village faces a water contamination issue. This week, local officials joined State Health Commissioner Howard Zucker and Department of Environmental Conservation Acting Commissioner Basil Segos at the state capitol to announce the Superfund status. Segos said the state will explore how to pull the chemical PFOA out of the village water system. In addition to PFOA being classified as a hazardous substance, a risk analysis will be conducted to establish a PFOA drinking guidance level. Private wells in the village will be retested, filtration systems will be installed in schools and community sites. Blood testing of community members is scheduled to begin next month. A state hotline will also be established. Village residents, meanwhile, have been urged by the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency to avoid drinking or cooking with water from the village water supply. However, even before state officials designated the village a Superfund site, residents of Hoosick Falls have been waiting for a solution to their water contamination issue. The Legislative Gazette's Lucas Willard went to the village for a closer look at how those without safe drinking water are getting by.
The Rensselaer County community of Hoosick Falls is grappling with a water crisis. Because of the presence of the chemical PFOA in the village water system, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency is urging residents not to drink or cook with water from the public water supply. A temporary filtration system is on track to be installed next month. Meantime, households are given a daily allowance of 5 gallons of bottled water. On a recent afternoon outside the local Tops supermarket, Judy Tate unloaded jugs of water along with some groceries into her car.
It's certainly an inconvenience, you know.
Company St. Gobain, whose buildings in town are at the center of the contamination question, is providing the bottled water. Tate is picking up the water for her daughter.
By the time she gets out of work and heads to other stuff that she's got to do, she won't get here to the store in time, you know.
While the water is being provided at no cost, it's still a challenge for villagers to get to the market every day, especially senior citizens and others with mobility issues. That's why a group of volunteers who call themselves the Water Angels have stepped up to deliver the water to those who can't make it on their own. Water Angels coordinator is Michelle O'Leary. She points out the list of names at the supermarket customer service desk where residents sign for their water allowance.
They fill out this log sheet with their name, their address, and then you have to put down if you select 5 of the single gallons or you can get 2 of the 2.5 big jugs with the spout.
O'Leary said there's a lot of anger and confusion in town.
You kind of take water for granted until you realize how much you use it throughout the day and how often, and it's kind of inconvenient for a lot of people who can't get water and us delivering it, and we're doing the best we can. And basically, I'm at the point where I'm not getting into the debates, the political stuff. I'm just trying to cover a need and make sure people are set with who can't do it for themselves.
It's not just families dealing with changing their routines. Restaurants and businesses on the village water system must also adapt. One local pizza shop uses bottled water to make the crust. Father Tom Zelker, pastor at the Immaculate Conception Church, says the water issues are souring the mood among people of all ages.
The teachers came back to me from our high school confirmation group, and they had been talking about water in baptism, and they asked the kids, the high school kids, what's their image of water? And it all came back negative. They were scared about the water.
Lawyers representing villagers are considering legal action on behalf of affected residents. Despite the arguing, Zelker, who in a previous career worked for the City of Albany's water supply, remains optimistic. He said he appreciated the work being done by everyone to solve the issue, while the presence and danger of the chemical was not completely understood since its initial discovery in 2014.
Hoosick Falls, I think, should be commended that with the people working here, with the leaders, with the whole community. We're trying to do something good, and we solve this problem, and I believe they're going to. It looks like it's going to happen.
Speaking before the late afternoon Superfund announcement by state agencies in Albany, Village Mayor David Borch says he fully appreciates the concerns from village residents.
I truly do. And it's a major concern. There's no question about it. And once again, I want to say that the board has been concerned about that and has taken a very proactive stance on this. Right from the beginning, we started talking about this, about what we could do.
A permanent filtration system is scheduled to be in place by October, but it remains to be seen how the town will be affected by a toxic chemical in its water supply.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Lucas Willard.
Joining us now, Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Shartok. Well, now, we've been hearing about Flint, Michigan and their water problems, but in Hoosick Falls, faced with water contamination issue, the St. Gobain facility in the Rensselaer County community has been declared a New York State Superfund site. Local officials, Joint State Health Commissioner Howard Zucker and Department of Environmental Conservation Acting Commissioner Basil Sagos at the state capitol to announce the Superfund status. Sagos said the state will explore how to pull the chemical PFOA out of the village water system. Village residents have been urged by the EPA to avoid drinking or cooking with water from the village water supply. And the plastics company has been handing out bottles of water, and I read in the Times, has hired a lobbyist.
Well, David, it's now becoming clear that for a myriad of reasons, we are facing some crises in some communities over the contamination of water. And there is nothing more basic to human existence than water. We know that. And if you're out there and you have to doubt the fact that your children or you could survive without it, don't even think about it for another second, because you can't make it without water. Therefore, it has to be our highest political priority that we go into our communities and we say, okay, you've had clay pipes or something since the time of Abraham Lincoln in some cases. All of this infrastructure needs to be worked on, and it needs it now. There can be no waiting.
Speaking of no waiting, what's going to happen with Michael Bloomberg? We're reading now that Rupert Murdoch, Alan, has lit some fire under Michael Bloomberg. He tweets, "This is Bloomberg's last chance. You never know until your hat is in the ring. Events change everything, especially during elections."
Hey, David, Bloomberg is a brilliant man. He didn't get where he is, one of the richest men in the world, by doing stupid things. He knows, and he knows well, that if you get into it, you want to win. And he has been faced with this a number of times. We know this, and he is a very attractive candidate. He's the middle of the road for many people. He cares about our health. He cares about the way in which human existence continues. He's 70-something years old. So this really is his last chance to be president of the United States, which we know he wants to do and which we know he would be good at. But it would mean taking on Hillary Clinton. He doesn't want to do that. He says if it's Bernie Sanders, he will do that. And that, of course, leads to the question, if we get a third party, will it elect the Republicans? Because I think it will. In other words, they have the House of Representatives almost assuredly. You get three parties, it gets thrown into the House, and it's adjudicated by the majority party, and that's the Republicans. All of those things are known to Rupert Murdoch, certainly, and to Michael Bloomberg.
Something very exciting we'll let the folks across the state know about, which is U.S. Attorney Preet Bharara will be doing a program which you will be interviewing him for an hour, and it will be made available to those around the state.
That's correct, David. I really think the world of Preet Bharara. I think he's a man of tremendous integrity at a time when I look at politicians and many of them are really sadly lacking. This is a guy who has been a hero, as far as I'm concerned, for the last several years. He's really gotten himself into a position where single-handedly he's been doing more to clean up Albany than anybody that I know. And so when we had the opportunity, thanks to our friend Blair Horner from NYPIRG and Dick Dady and Barbara Bartoletti, the good government groups who have been working so assiduously to make things happen, he's coming to Albany and he's chosen the Linda Norris Auditorium and WAMC to be the way that he's going to make his talk. And we are extremely grateful to him.
From there to the 19th Congressional District, Zephyr Teachout has made it official. She's going to try to run for the seat. Of course, she squared off in a primary against Governor Cuomo and did quite well with a grassroots campaign. On the Republican side, we see former state Republican Assemblyman, Assembly Minority Leader as well, John Faso.
As well as a number of other people.
Correct.
Not so fast, David. He has to win, you know, a primary. She may have to do a primary also. I think she does. But she's been endorsed by the county chairs and the people who really helped to make these decisions. She did something this week that I read about that had me scratching my head. She sort of reversed herself on gun control. She's always been a big gun control person. Now it's an upstate district. I think maybe out of convenience, which is the one thing we don't think about when we talk about Zephyr Teachout. You know, we talk about a lady of great conviction. So, you know, maybe in order to win, you have to do that kind of thing. We know that Kirsten Gillibrand, when she was the congresswoman from mostly that district, they've changed a little bit, was elected as a Democrat, and she was a much more conservative woman than she is now as a United States senator. Asked about it, at least one United States senator said at a confirmation hearing, well, she'll evolve. Now, maybe this is a reverse evolution on the part of Zephyr Teachout.
Let's go to a state seat, and that's the former state majority leader convicted on corruption charges, Dean Skelos. His seat is up for grabs. It looks like Governor Cuomo will be announcing a special election next week. We'll watch for that, but that's an important seat.
It's huge. As you know, David, the Republicans are about one seat up right now. And if you want to take the Senate, and the Democrats certainly do, they're going to try to take that Skelos seat. And they have a former prosecutor and a brilliant man who is going to do it, a young fellow who is looking very good. And the Republicans are having a very difficult time finding somebody to run so that they can retain that seat, which, of course, to them is absolutely crucial. And that's not the only problem. There's another Long Island guy who's interested in being a congressman and who has control on his district, but not by much. And if he leaves, that could really leave the Republicans in a with a big problem. Now, there are the four people or five, depending on how you're counting, called the IDC or Independent Democratic Conference. I call them the traitors, affectionately, because they have chosen to leave the Democrats and to make their own better deal. They get committee chairmanships and things, led by Jeff Klein, a so-called Democrat from the Bronx. It'll be interesting to see if Cuomo, if the Democrats win honestly and have more seats than the Republicans, whether Cuomo, who says he wants a Democratic Senate, but many of us don't believe, really puts the muscle towards the IDC and makes them go back to the Democrats where they, you know, allegedly ran to identify themselves.
Finally, Alan, this show is heard on public radio stations across the state and even many commercial stations. A reminder that this kind of a program, as many of the programs you hear on your local stations, don't come free.
That's right, David. There aren't a lot of ways that we can keep it all going. But in the case of WAMC, we have a fund drive coming up. Many of our colleagues in these very important stations also are running fund drives or have just run them. And anything you can do to become a sustaining member or anything you can do to help your public radio station would be much appreciated, because if we don't have public radio, we'll all be a lot poorer.
Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Shartok. You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Gustina. It's been more than 40 years since the Roe v. Wade decision legalizing a woman's right to choose an abortion, but advocates say New York lawmakers have yet to translate the provisions of the landmark Supreme Court decision into law in the state. More now from the Legislative Gazette's Karen DeWitt.
New York already has laws legalizing abortion rights. They were approved in 1970. But advocates say they're outdated, and the legislation needs to be upgraded to protect women if the Supreme Court ever reverses the Roe v. Wade decision. Governor Cuomo, who supports the measure, known as the Reproductive Health Act, did not attend the rally at the Capitol. But Lieutenant Governor Kathy Hochul spoke.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much.
Cuomo initially wanted to include the reproductive rights bill as part of a package that he called the Women's Equality Act, but it was opposed by Republicans in the state Senate. Cuomo eventually dropped it from the list in favor of getting some of the other provisions passed. They include making it easier for women to sue for equal pay and anti-human trafficking measures. Lieutenant Governor Hochul says she knows of some GOP senators, who she would not name, who she says are supportive of voting for the abortion rights measure. She says she's hopeful that election year pressures could encourage them to join Democrats to provide enough votes for passage.
I think when their constituents have an opportunity to explain to them how important this is, it's early yet. It's early yet in the process. There's an opportunity.
Thank you for being here. God bless you.
The lone Senate Republican to address the Planned Parenthood lobbyists, Senator John Bonasek of the Hudson Valley, says he's in favor of the bill and he would vote for it if it came to the floor. He says he believes there is quiet support among other Republicans.
I don't believe in abortions, but that's a family choice. And both my daughter and my bride of 50 years, they believe in pro-choice, and we should never deprive women of access of health care that they choose and their medical providers say is best for them.
But Bonasek cast some doubt on whether the Senate Republicans as a group would permit the measure to come to the floor for a vote.
Your guess is as good as mine. You know, there's a national election going on, and the stakes may be higher, where people won't have the courage to embrace this now.
The leader of the Senate Democrats, who are in the minority in that House, says she also doesn't think that would happen. Democratic leader Andrea Stewart-Cousins says no GOP senator has actually signed on to the bill.
I don't have any bipartisan support for women's reproductive rights in the Senate.
One other issue left out of the Women's Equality Act is paid family leave. Governor Cuomo pledged in his State of the State address to fight for a bill to require companies to offer 12 weeks of leave partially paid.
We should have a paid leave program paid by employees who can get 12 weeks of pay.
Cuomo said later his plan would allow workers to receive about one-third of their regular pay if they take the leave. It would require each worker to pay $1 per pay period to contribute to a fund. Lieutenant Governor Hochul was asked if she thinks that's enough.
Well, right now you're looking at zero. So let's talk about making some progress.
Assembly Speaker Carl Hastie says his House has a more comprehensive plan on family leave, and he continues to support that.
We believe the Assembly's version is a better version, and that's kind of where we're going to try to start to have our negotiations.
The Assembly Democrats' plan would draw on the state's temporary disability insurance fund to partially pay workers' salaries when they request leave. Senate Republican leader John Flanagan says he likes the ideas in the governor's plan, and he says his members will be talking about it. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Gustina. Members of Governor Andrew Cuomo's cabinet are fanning out across New York to outline his budget proposal before business groups, organizations, and legislative bodies. This week, Essex County supervisors heard the recap and questioned key points of the plan. The Legislative Gazette's Pat Bradley reports.
Deputy Secretary of State for Local Government Didi Scazzafava was dispatched to the Essex County Government Center in Elizabethtown to outline Governor Cuomo's Built to Lead budget agenda.
We're going to be taking you through some of the key points, the governor's annual State of the State message, and also the budget. And at the end, opening it up to questions.
More than hearing or rehearing the budget outline, the presentation is an opportunity for people to comment on and question the governor's plan. For a half hour, Essex County supervisors queried Scazzafava on topics such as prison closures, special use districts, broadband, and the proposed minimum wage increase. Among the top concerns raised by Essex County leaders is the tax cap, which is below 2% this year. Willsboro Republican Sean Gilliland says while he's concerned about a number of issues, the tax cap is the most critical.
Towns and counties have gotten to the point now that we have no maneuver room. We're limited by the tax cap, and we fund ourselves through property tax, and we don't have the economic base to, you know, that's unsustainable. So what have municipalities and counties been doing? They've been eating down their fund balances in order to maintain within the tax cap. So now we have no room. We're struggling.
Supervisors told the governor's representative that rural communities need to move to full-time paid EMS services. But Wilmington Independent Supervisor Randy Preston, who is vice chair of the Board of Supervisors, told Scazzafava there has been a lack of response and help from state officials.
As I travel the state and gone to conferences, this is happening in rural New York everywhere, and it's exploding budgets. It's blowing the tax cap right out of the water in staggering amounts.
Preston adds that tax cap restrictions on emergency services is a critical issue that New York officials must address.
It is for rural New York. There's several departments in Clinton County, and their budgets have more than doubled. There's three in this county that have exceeded the tax cap, and it specifically was because of emergency services coverage. So it's happening everywhere, and it's going to continue to happen. So this problem is going to continue to mushroom, and it's going to blow the tax cap right out of the water. And we were really hoping that Department of Health officials would recognize this as a crisis.
Town of Moriah Supervisor Republican Tom Scazzafava, a distant cousin of Dee Dee Scazzafava, likes the governor's proposal to provide more aid to schools, but he is opposed to the idea of increasing the minimum wage to $15.
That will have a dominoes effect. I'm not saying working people that are out there supporting families or even when they hit the age 18 and older, I can support that. But, you know, if I hire 15, 16, 17-year-olds, that's going to have a lot of impact.
Scazzafava says there are a number of items in the budget that will benefit the North Country region.
You've got tourism dollars, you've got infrastructure dollars, and the big thing is broadband. Also the economic development funds. You know, the tax cap doesn't stand alone. There was supposed to be a tax cap which controlled property taxes, which I think it's doing that job. But there's also supposed to be an infusion to stimulate the economy so the economy can grow and the tax base can grow. You don't look at one thing without looking at the other.
Scazzafava traveled from Elizabethtown to Speculator to present the governor's spending plan. State legislative committees are reviewing the proposed budget plan.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Pat Bradley.
And that about does it for this week's show. We had help from the New York State Public Radio Network. For copies, call 1-800-323-9262. That's 1-800-323-9262. Ask for program number 1605. Or just listen on the web at WAMC.org. And join us again next week at this same time for more news on New York State government and politics. For the Legislative Gazette, I'm David Gustina.
Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.